Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Game one will be in Milwaukee. When? We've got no idea. Much speculation out there that Matt Velasquez of the Journal Sentinel does know and is sitting on it. Matt, when do the Bucks play?
You know, I just can't share that. I just can't tell anyone.
Oh, wow.
Don't be saving it for the big show or something else.
You're our insider.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I am on Bill Michaels tomorrow. No, I have no idea when this game is. I literally have no idea. It could be as late as Monday. It's the first day that he's on the schedule. Like the latest the second round can start. They can move it up to the weekend. I would expect that they would move it up to the weekend. The Bucks would probably want to move it up to the weekend. As of right now, you know, that still isn't set in stone. It's not figured out. Saturday or Sunday night would make the most sense to me. But I think the bigger question is, what's your favorite Bradley Center memory?
Oh, that's a good question,
Jeez,
Matt.
You're turning it on us now.
That's a good question. And, again, I cannot answer that because as long as the structure is still somewhat standing,
well, I think
there are still memories to be made.
Didn't they, like, took another piece of it down yesterday?
It's just another piece of the puzzle, Chuck.
Yeah, yeah.
There are still memories to be made.
So what is the NBA waiting on? The series to end? I mean, some of these are ending. Some ended last night. We got the Eastern Conference all lined up here. So maybe would today we get an answer on that?
I think we could. I think now that they have the combination of it, of all the matchups, they know with the hockey where the Bruins and Maple Leafs sort out, which obviously affected the arena availability of the Celtics. And the Raptors potentially, obviously now it still affects the Celtics. Now you can kind of see how that all shakes out. We have more clarity in the Western Conference with two teams having advanced. We don't know the matchups yet, but we have a pretty decent idea based on the way those series are going. So it all comes down to TV networks and arena scheduling, and you know, kind of just figuring out where and when these games are going to be. And so there's a lot of moving pieces, and I'm sure that they're, you know, almost done being able to figure that out. But they are taking their dear sweet time.
Talking with Matt Velasquez, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We're going to get into the Bucks-Celtics series in a second. Quickly to look back at the Pistons series, there's a lot of talk, and maybe, you know, deservedly so, that the first round is just too long, especially with how the East looks this year. We're seeing some good series out West. One that could go seven at this point, some going five. But you had the Bucks easily advance. You had the Celtics easily advance. The Sixers and Raptors both advancing after dropping one on that first weekend. Do these series need to be shorter? Is that something that the NBA should look into? I know for you, kind of a pro-con, it kept you away from your family on Easter, but you got to enjoy a ball game. I saw, watch the Tigers play over in Detroit and stay an extra night in Detroit. Should these series be shorter, or is this just it's already expanded because of the money? They're going to keep it that way.
Yeah, I think they'll probably keep it that way. I think one issue with making it shorter is, you know, at least right now each team is guaranteed two home games, and that means money for each of those teams, and no team is going to, you know, spite itself and say, oh no, we make the playoffs, we don't want money. You know, so I think there's a lot to it. I think it's also it's a TV program, so you want to guarantee a certain number of programming hours to your TV networks. So you know there's at least four games for each series, so you're, you know, that those hours accumulate, and those series have the potential to go longer. You know, when we have a situation like this where, you know, there's two sweeps and two five-game series in the East, it seems like it's too long. You know, we knew those teams were better the whole time. In the West, it's been a little more interesting, but still, you know, we had a couple of five-game series, and the other two are going, you know, maybe six, maybe seven. So I don't think it's going to be anything that'll change soon, just because it doesn't really benefit the NBA to change it.
One more question on the scheduling for this weekend. If you had to guess, what would you say? Sunday night?
I think Saturday night makes the most sense.
Saturday night?
They're going to push it up just because both teams have been off for so long that maybe you try and get the series going, and you can start Raptors Sixers on Sunday, and those teams would have a reasonable amount of rest as well. But you know, that's literally just me trying to make sense of a bunch of bunch of craziness.
So are you thinking Saturday at 6, 6:37,
4 o'clock?
I'm just kidding.
Two?
We're done.
No. This series, okay, with the actual game itself. Now the Celtics, they want to play at a slower pace than the Bucks. The Bucks want to up-tempo that. I think it's a question out of who's going to play whose game. Will the Bucks have to play at a slower tempo? Will the Celtics have to speed it up and play at Milwaukee's tempo?
I think that depends on the Bucks' defense. If they can consistently get stops, and they can then off of misses, they can push and they can push in transition. They can get Giannis and Bledsoe and all those guys, out and running and really, dictating the pace. If they are struggling to get stops, they're going to play a little bit slower. They're going to have a little bit more trouble with Boston being able to set their defense and kind of close off the driving lanes a little bit more. So I think that if the Bucks can play the level of defense that they have all year and be able to force the Celtics into tough, contested mid-range shots, three-pointers above the break, all that type of stuff, then they can give themselves every opportunity to get out and run. And if they can get out and run, they can really set the tone on offense and get rolling there. It might be hard for the Celtics to keep up.
I think there's a lot of people, as we talked to Matt Velasquez, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, that especially I don't want to spend so much time on the national, conversation, but it seems like the Celtics did what the Bucks were maybe expected to do, and then the Bucks did what the Celtics were expected to do, to be the number one seed in the East and to win 60 games. And so when people predict the series, they think a lot of, I still want to be right about the Celtics, so I'm going to take the Celtics. So on and so forth. There was a quote from you that you quoted Jason Kidd like two Christmases ago after a game about how they're still a young team and we got to stop worrying about the big three. And it kind of circulated around a little bit on the internet yesterday. If you take yourself back to that day and then you kind of look where you are now, how surprised are you that they are this good, that they are the Eastern Conference favorites, that they are the home court advantage team, that they are the number one seed? Because back then, this seemed, while hopeful, like there was no way this was actually going to occur.
Yeah, I saw that quote yesterday. I think it unearthed itself, or people found it on Twitter after Jason Kidd interviewed for the Lakers job. And as I recall, that came after a loss to the Bulls, like the day after Christmas last year, or in 2017. And it was their second loss to the Bulls in like 11 days, and as we know, the Bulls aren't very good. So we were talking to him about, hey, like, what's the deal? And he kind of just said, hey, they're young, big three, buck three, whatever.
EKG, KBJ, all those things we were coming up with.
Right. And so he's like, oh, they're young, it's going to have to go through it and whatever. And he said that a lot over the last couple seasons. And it always kind of just rang a little hollow. It's like, yeah, I guess, but they've been to the playoffs. They've been together. I remember asking Chris Middleton at one point, like, hey, we've been talking about you guys being young for a couple of years now. Like, when does it stop? And he was like, I don't think we're young anymore. not in as many words, but that's basically what it was. And so just to see the way the Bucks have, turned a corner, it's not all the same players. It's a decent amount of the same players, but it's not all the same players. In terms of the main guys, it's still Giannis and Middleton and Bledsoe and Brogdon, just kind of 1 year older, 1 year together. And I think they believe that they had more talent than the Celtics last year. They thought they should have won that series last year without Kyrie, without Gordon Hayward. And so now, to play with the consistency that they have this year, to really put it all together under Mike Budenholzer has just been really impressive. I didn't see it coming. I thought they'd be around 50 wins, maybe a few wins more than 50, competing in that top half of the East, but not at the top of the East with 60 wins and just absolutely dominant in the first round of the playoffs. And so you're right. If people were projecting this season, they probably would have expected Celtics-Bucks in the second round with Boston having home court advantage. But this season has gone very differently. The Bucks have had chemistry all year. The Celtics have had chemistry issues for most of it. And you know, now the Bucks have home court, and maybe that could be, you know, the difference in this time around.
That's a big series for Eric Bledsoe, among others. But Bledsoe, he had his problems with Terry Rozier. We all know about that from last year. But now, you know, he's got to step it up a little bit against Kyrie. How do you think he's going to do in that matchup?
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough. Kyrie is a cook. He will get anybody and everybody. There are just certain plays where no one can stop him. He's just going to get that tough bucket. Bledsoe's going to need help, and you know he needs to stay in front of Kyrie as much as he possibly can. But in the Bucks system, there are going to be times where he's going to let him go and drop him off to Brook Lopez, drop him off to Ersan Ilyasova, whoever's in the paint at the time, and they're going to sink back. And if Kyrie can get his mid-range shot going, his floater going, you know that's going to be a problem for the Bucks, and they might have to go to more switching. But if he can't, if he's shooting, average or below average on those mid-range shots, on those floaters, the Bucks will be in position to get rebounds and be able to turn and run. So we've seen it a lot of times this year where point guards have, you know, if they get hot from the mid-range, I think of like Kemba Walker, I think C.J. McCollum, not a point guard, but in a similar situation, you get hot for the mid-range against the Bucks, you can win. Bledsoe is going to have a tough task in front of him, and I think he's motivated after last year's playoffs to make good this year.
Talking with Matt Velasquez, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Matt _ Velasquez on Twitter, as we do every Wednesday at 8 here on Chuck and Winkler. Stat going around yesterday as well. The Celtics have outscored the Bucks by 28 points during the 44 minutes. Both Al Horford and Brook Lopez were on the court during the regular season. Now, I think the Bucks are using Lopez a little differently than maybe they did then. How do you expect that matchup to go? Horford is a guy that just scares the hell out of me as a Bucks fan. Kyrie scares me. Horford scares me. I see him popping so many threes, in my mind, in my visions, both historically and upcoming to the series. But I do like the Bucks in this series, and one of the big reasons for that is the play of Brook Lopez. How do you view that matchup between Brook and Al?
Yeah, the big issue is that I think a lot of those points, a lot of that plus-minus probably happened in the first game that these two teams played together, where the Bucks did not get out of their base defense. They just kept sticking with it, with Brook on pick and rolls, going back and sinking into the paint, and Horford would get the ball somewhere along the arc, and either he shot a three and made it probably about half the time, or he had a ton of space, and he's a really good playmaker, really good passer, and so he was able to find guys, and the Celtics made like 24 threes that night, just some crazy number. Definitely a franchise record. And the Bucks still, in that game, were within a basket in the fourth quarter, despite all that. So during points this season, the Bucks have shown a willingness to get out of that defense, to turn to switching, to trust Brook Lopez on guards and being isolated along the perimeter, and he's handled that generally pretty well. So it'll be interesting to see how often the Celtics really force that issue and how often the Bucks are willing to get out of their usual defense and switch things up in an effort to shut off Al Horford as a playmaker in space.
All right, Matt, appreciate you coming on the show, and we'll talk to you next week, and maybe you'll see you this weekend if they still play this the series this weekend, or if they ever play it. We'll see this
week.
Yeah,
you haven't got an update in the 15 minutes we've been talking.
Because we assume the series is still going to happen.
I have a whole bunch of texts directly from the league that I can't check because I'm talking to you guys.
All right, well, let Bill know, and then they can break the news.
All right, sounds good.
Matt Velasquez joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Great Midwest Bank, looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019. Look no further and call Great Midwest.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.